investigation on whom I online I am what I am. That's what that project says. So therefore, members, we have just made copies available.
Okay.
And therefore, I think members will have an opportunity either to engage in that report and look at the response. Because I said in the letter of the Auditor General that I will not respond as individual on this issue that is ranging. I'm sending it to the committee and for the committee to engage on those issues. Now, before we get into issues of the Auditor General and the CITA, the UMI online, let us focus on the amendment coming from the NCOP, because it's a minor amendment. So therefore, we will then give the parliamentary, the departmental, the amendment. And then from there, members can then start to engage from those amendments. Within the program, members, we have what we call the People's Assembly. That will be put in place on the 17th, which would announce to members this committee that process participate into that workshop, into the People's Assembly. While the department is still preparing itself together with the parliamentary, let me just take members through the last engagement that we have been doing with the parliamentary team on matters from foreigners. We have had a number of engagements and visits that have been taking place. Currently, at the parliamentary level, we're developing a program where we'll be further engaging with communities. What is very critical now is that of the integration of refugees back to the community. This morning, we're supposed to have had a meeting with the minister to brief us on the integration of refugees, but due to some engagement that the minister is but I think members with their experiences, as we have said that during your research, members should engage and visit Home Affairs offices and look at the issues of refugees and all of that. It is important just for members to reflect on the current development. As myself, I've been to a number of refugee camps last week, engaging with refugees and going to communities, especially in the what we call the Cerro Ramaphosa water camp. Clearly, there are issues that we still have to resolve. As much as we appreciate the work that is being done by the provincial and the local government in Gauteng, in KwaZulu-Natal, there's no engagement. There's nothing that is happening. Since people are displaced, you don't have any engagement. In the Western Cape, we've had a number of meetings with refugees and community leaders, having hosted the conference, but the dialogue that they hosted as Parliament. The report will be made available for members to reflect on that report again. But we have had a number of meetings in Parliament with refugees, with asylum seekers. At the end of the day, we've been illegal immigrants taking that opportunity, because we cannot differentiate only on documentation. You can then know who's refugee, who's asylum seeker. That's one of the huge challenges that we face now. They definitely issues of which wanted to engage with the ministers around the issues of documentation and the whole question of integration, which is not much the responsibility of Home Affairs. I believe that the other government spheres have that responsibility, with your provincial and the local government and other departments who are role players in making sure that we have an adequate policy on integration. Once the person enters South Africa and gets the refugee status for Section 22, what then happens? That's the question that they have. What then happens? Where do they So clearly is that it's an area that I would believe that they're still working on, but there are some of those issues for that particular mission when we're sort of scheduling that. So therefore, members, I would believe that we still deal with challenges of a small percentage of integration that's needed to take place, especially people who are still staying in those camps. The Constitutional Court has just given a ruling that there must be consolidation of these camps and have one camp, and that camp must operate from now until September. I think it must be disbanded. The question is, what do we then do with the people that are in the camp if we have not yet really adequately dealt with issues of integration? So those are some of the challenges that we believe that need to be resolved. But, you know, the worrying trend is that you have a number of people who have not gone back to, you know, communities where they stay. They've moved on somewhere else. But there's new phenomena of people who are now living in the bushes. People who are now staying in the bush. And I think it's something that we'll definitely have to look at it quite very seriously. You know, one example, when you drive from Pretoria towards Hammanskraal, on the left-hand side, before you approach the first toll road, you will see a number of people who are staying in the bush there. And then I had an opportunity one day to stop and just to engage with them. And most of them are Zimbabweans, and it's men, most of them. Over 100 people that you'll find just on the side of the road. At night, they go to the bush. During the day, they go out, they try and get whatever that they can survive with, and then at night, they go back. They can't afford the rentals and all of those things. And I think it's a worrying factor that we'll have to focus on quite a lot. Because this trend is really, you know, a developing, it's not only in that area, but a number of pockets of areas we have that problem that they would have to focus on as a country and really try and assist, you know, those that are vulnerable. But again, for questions of security, again, for the country, you can't have a situation where you have people living in the bush which you don't know. Are not registered, and that will need this committee to be really very forward and call those that are responsible, you know, to sort of engage and find a solution to those problems. And the current, you know, developments in Zimbabwe, I think, will help us a lot, because the changes that you're beginning to see there and the atmosphere is beginning to really ease, you know, the influx of migrants, because much of the problem there has been during the runoff of the elections, you know, the violence that was taking place and the attacks that you saw necessitated a number of people, you know, to leave. But then the collapse of the economy generally. But with the current developments that are taking place, which we really appreciate the role that our country and our government and the president is doing in helping the Zimbabweans to find a solution, it's really helping us to ease this influx of migrants. You still have a lot of problems with Mozambicans, a number of them, lots of, you know, problems of, you know, social problems in Mozambique. Most Mozambicans are still in South Africa. Some of them, in fact, they've been here for many, many years, and most of them still do not have any documents. If you go to the northern part again of the country, towards Mpumalanga, the Giani area, Malamulele, there are camps, you know, which were established during the war in Mozambique, and those camps still exist even today. But most of those people have managed, some of them, have managed to acquire South African citizenship by the time we have opened up for amnesty for those who have been in the country. But a number of them still struggle with documentation. So I think our approach into this whole thing will be, as we engage with ourselves, as a country, as this portfolio committee, the points that we know is that most of our region, countries in the region, they cannot afford to issue documentation. You know, it takes you some years in Zimbabwe to acquire a passport, and it's very expensive for ordinary Zimbabweans. The same applies with Mozambique. I mean, we have had that tour that we took as a committee at that time, and we have visited those countries. And as we're engaging with parliamentarians in those countries, what came up very strongly was their country to, you know, capacity, in fact, to issue documentation, which is a very serious problem. And then the price of the visa from Zimbabweans to come to South Africa is one which is very expensive if you look at the economy of Zimbabwe. That's why people will then opt to cross, you know, illegally into South Africa without documentation. We have been calling for the tightening, not only tightening, but much policing of the borderline. was one of the problems, that we want as many people to come into the country, but we want them to come legally. And even those who are applying for asylum. The problem is that the borderline is so porous, and people can just come in anywhere if there's an opening. We have done that. We have done the oversight of the portfolio committee. We have seen it. The policing of the borderline is very problematic. In fact, it's not happening much as we expected. Therefore, it's very vulnerable for illegal immigrants. Not only illegal immigrants, all the issues of criminal elements do take place. We have seen it. In fact, how cars are crossed into Mozambique, stolen cars are crossed into Mozambique illegally. So some of the parts of the fence is broken down. Even the police themselves, when we engaged with them last time with the safety and security, they were saying that they don't even know where the borderline ends at some point. And it's a very serious concern that we as Parliament will have to deal with. At the same time, the SADC protocol on facilitation of free movement of persons and goods, I think it's one which is very critical. And we have not yet had the preparations as a region, in fact, as to how they're dealing with that. Now, recently, SADC has just had, I think it's a free, what's called a customs union, which took place. I mean, now it needs to be followed by free virtual movement of persons and goods. And if there are no preparations, definitely we're going to have a serious problem, because as you send goods here, people must move with goods, so that is very critical, and we have rectified this Parliament. I think for it to come into operation, it will need a number of member states to sign it before it comes into operation. But that is not a free movement document, as people may think, that people will just move freely. People are still required documentation. People will, have to produce kind of a documentation that will be needed. But we don't know how currently the Department of Home Affairs and other, government departments are doing with regard to that particular process. But we know that the protocol is rectified as Parliament. So I'm saying that these are some of the things that we'll have to grapple with as a portfolio committee on Home Affairs, because we cannot deal with the problem of migration in isolation of our neighboring countries. We always say that migration is a global phenomenon, therefore you cannot deal with it in isolation. But what is very critical for us is that there must be further engagement between ourselves and our neighboring countries, our neighbors, especially the portfolio committees that we've been engaging in. If you recall, our engagement has been very fruitful. They raise a number of challenges that we are confronted with. At some point, we are asked by Zimbabweans that we must provide them with boots and overalls and 4x4s for them to be able to do the border policing and all of that. So I'm saying that there are challenges. As a region, we need to do that, but appreciate the current stability that is taking place in those countries. But it's definitely easy, this influx of migration for us. And people will come formally, with documentation and all of that, once those countries have that capacity. So the issue of xenophobia, we have dealt with it. I think it has subsided. Hence, the bigger challenge now is that integration. The very small percentage that is left there. And I was saying that what is critical is that we need to champion it to a point that it helps us to come up with a clear policy on integration. Because currently, we're talking of millions and millions of people who are in the country. Most of them, some of them are legal, some of them are illegal. Majority of them, in fact, are illegal. Young, a migrant who are searching for better life in South Africa. And clearly we have not yet championed some of the issues as to how we deal with documentation, how do we deal with that control check of migrants. So it's a challenge that this portfolio committee will have to focus on as we move forward. So therefore, members, can I then give Senator Major to take us through the logistics advisor, or is there any comment that members want to make before we get into that level, based on my just general input that I made? Let me give some. You'll come, Chief. I was saying that members should sort of, because we have been waiting in our constituencies and during the research, dealing with these issues that we call challenges that we must resolve at some point.
Thank you, Chair. You raised a number of issues, and we do commend you as the Chair for, we saw you in the media going to the various camps and making comments and investigating the situations there. You also raised the issue of the Constitutional Court hearing. I would request that we should maybe find out why it was necessary for the bodies organized representing the refugees to go to the Constitutional Court on a very urgent basis. And if one then looks at what the court ordered, in fact, had to order the parties to talk, the Gauteng provincial government and the bodies representing the refugees, and it also gave some recommendations as to when the camps should be closed. We should maybe have a briefing from the provincial Gauteng government as to what happened there, why was it necessary to incur those costs. You'll recall that the camps were going to be closed that very Friday, and the court had to convene in recess to then order that the camps would not be closed immediately and would be held over, and that the parties would consult. So I'm not sure where the blame lies, but clearly there seems to be a lack of consultation or discussions. It's a very complex issue, as you did raise. Chairperson, you also mentioned the issue of Zimbabwe. I had an informal discussion with some Zimbabweans that have recently come across the border in the last few weeks due to the economic meltdown. And so whilst I do share your sentiments on the trust that the situation in Zimbabwe will improve, it does seem that there are still refugees coming across to South Africa, and we share those sentiments that the economic and political situation in Zimbabwe should improve. Can I just ask, Chair, I presume we're going to deal with the health services as well, because clearly that was an issue that was raised in the camps by groups such as Medicine Sans Borders, the Doctors Without Borders, the concerns about the health issues in the camps. And I see we've got a document here from Human Rights Watch, and I presume we're going to deal with the request as to whether there are amendments in the bill dealing with that. So, Chairperson, just with those few comments, we share your sentiments and concerns about the refugee camps, the issue of when they're going to be closed, and the reintegration. And I think we all need to just stand together on this issue across political lines to deal with the issue as we have done in the past. Thank you, Chair. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Could we possibly have some feedback regarding the cards which were going to be given to refugees with their fingerprints and their photos on, how many were actually supplied and how many were refused to have this process done, and their reasons for not wanting to be fingerprinted and photographed. Thank you, Chair.
I think if you ask this question, you must bear in mind that we will not have answers now.
No.
But because we will be planning the next meeting, as I said, that day, due to other engagement, the minister will not be able to attend. But we'll plan the next meeting. So those questions will be relevant, in fact, for that meeting, so that we can then ask straight questions and get answers. All right, but we'll note that question. We'll really note it, and in fact, we'll form part of the meeting, so the engagement with the minister when we meet.
Thank you, Chair.
All right, Law, are you okay? Inka, are you fine in Durban? I'm very much concerned about Durban, Inka. And if you're not saying anything.
Yeah. As you know, I was a little bit out of circulation.
Come again? Oh, okay, you have to stick with you. Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, no, we watch out. I think we'll take that point up. That will be our approach on dealing with these issues, which are still sort of challenges for us. But that meeting will be prepared, for that meeting to engage further with our minister. But part of what we must do, I think, will be that general oversight. And in doing that oversight, it will be necessary for us to interact with the legislature around these issues. Because everything was triggered by the date of the 15th. But what came out of that is that everything collapsed in the city. Doctors Without Borders, everybody in fact just packed and left, And even services that were provided, there were bus services for school children were sort of cancelled because the camps were going to be closed. Now they have not yet started some of the services. The camps that I visited, those services are still not yet there, And then we need to hear about this consolidation, and the general, integration. I think we'll engage on those issues, say, when that time comes. Based on our reports and our findings and the recommendations that we'll make to Parliament, I think it will help to speed up the process of having a clear policy on on integration, you know, because the situation is that when a person comes in the country, what then happens? You know, you are given Section 22, where do you go? Find your own way. Yes, the network, the everybody that helps, you know, they got, you know, their own network. Zimbabweans know how to handle, you know, Congolese, everybody, you know, Chinese and the Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, we have everybody. So, but we need to have that full understanding of this, you know, driven by policy. So can we come back now to the refugee bill that seek to help, in fact, ease some of the, you know, stresses that the department finds itself around having to do this problem. Can we give you?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to you and honorable members and everyone else present. The Select Committee has considered the bill and it has proposed the following amendments. The first amendment, they are both on clause 14. The first amendment, it will be on page 8 in line 40, wherein it is proposed that the word be omitted and be substituted with the word any. So the bill will then now read, any refugee is at section 21B under clause 14. It will read, any refugee whose child is born in the Republic must, within 1 month of the birth of his or her child, register such a child as a dependent at any refugee reception office. And secondly, the second amendment that I didn't read now, it relates to the omission of the word that processed his or her application. So the bill will end at the word reception office, and the word following thereafter will be omitted. Thank you, Chairman. And maybe just as a note, the document on which the proposed amendment appears, I think it refers to proposed portfolio committee amendment, which I believe should be Select Committee on Social Services.
But what we do with this bill is not to make that recommendation. I think the problem is with the process, because we adopted the policy that any
I should believe that as the bill, the new draft was prepared, there was an omission that was not made, that we picked up as we went to the Select Committee.
Yeah.
It was a question of people who finally prepared.
I'm afraid that if such mistakes occur, there is a possibility that in this bill there are a lot of such omissions. So this implies that these people are not professional. You must explain this to us.
Children's book 27.
It's a very serious problem, because it changes the whole context of the bill. It's no longer the way we have agreed on it. It's something new altogether. So it means now we have to go through the bill and check whether there are not any other omissions.
And it's not our work, but you know, someone should pay for it, must do that. Okay, but let me give you a question. Yeah, we'll note that, and then either you're going to respond on their behalf, I don't know, because you're part of their roster. Okay. Okay, can I give Kosi Odi
Mulongwe? Thank you, Chairperson. To add, Chairperson is a human being. Although the legal drafters have made the secretarial sin, which is beyond forgiveness, but to err is the human being, Chairperson. I propose that we accept the amendment as properly put in place.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. The proposal for forgiveness. Okay. And then
Chair, thank you very much indeed. I just wondered if we could just have a look at what we're actually saying, because I'm just concerned about the implications of the change. I understand why it's being done. What we're practically saying is anybody who has as a child can go to any office and register that dependent as a child. But is it going to work in practice? I'm just concerned that, you know, are computers talking to each other? Is there a system in place that means if an applicant must register say in Pretoria and ends up in Durban and then goes to that office, do the two get together? And I must be honest, I really am concerned that that won't happen in practice. So while I understand the reason behind the change in the amendments, and I think it makes practical sense to do so, we need to now make sure that in fact the department can deal with the physical realities of that change. Because if you don't go to the original office, how are those two pieces of paper or two computers or two bits of information going to get back together? We already have a problem in Home Affairs as it is. Are we adding to the problem? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, no matter, although I might want to support the proposal by the CDP and also from Hoshi Muramosha, I'd like to comment something. I'll be very much grateful if the doctors, if they are available, they can be given an opportunity to clarify that, because also it allows maybe sometimes vacuum that maybe some people take an advantage to give a wrong picture about the whole Home Affairs as it is, while at the same time there are a lot of improvements since we started to intervene and to discuss some of the matters. Because if people are doing something, they must be commended as well. But if there is a human error, we must correct it as soon as we can. Thank you, Chairperson.
The point that is raised by Honorable Long on the system not talking to one another, we have the intervention system?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that we're spending over R1 billion now.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I would believe that as part of the strategic plan that we have approved of the department, is that it's one of the key areas that the department will be resolving. Because they say in their strategic plan that all the offices will be talking to one another, and that's the work of the task team. We have just completed over R500 million in the current financial year to pick up the last over, I think, R400 or R500 million last time. I would believe that they must deliver those systems and talk to one another. You said that we're going to
do believe more than I do.
Well, I'm saying that we have paid them a lot of money to do that. Yeah? Yeah. So let's take it that we pass this law on the basis that the department is using it. Mm-hmm. Right. How are they going to do it? If they can't do it, therefore someone will have to come in account. Because this could help, you know, our people who have, you know, a applied or who will be applying for their children's certificate or whatever, to go to any other office of Home Affairs. And but in reality, I agree with law that the serious question will be here, because there are people that are paying a lot of money to do this work. Therefore, we'll expect that they're going to finalize the thing either by the end of this year. We'll have the 4 refugee reception offices, the 5 talking to one. There's been talking to parallel from the other part. So, there is there any other amendment? The amendment, therefore, is agreed to, right?
Yes.
So, there's no need to give them a report that they're going to go to a focus and still focus with your focus and come back and say, you approve or not. No, what's for the.
Just this letter from Human Rights Watch, is that going to be dealt with at all or not? Because they've got a concern about the access to health services.
You know what I think we should do? It's not only that. I got a number of letters coming from a number of, you know, stakeholders. You see, because the public hearings are over, we cannot open again another discussion. What we need to do as a committee is that these issues have been brought to our attention. What we need to do, let's have an engagement with them. See, let's have a session where we're going to invite all of those that have written with regard to the issues of the issues of health, the cannot separate the issues of health and education, all those entitlements of refugees. Let's have a session where we engage with all of those stakeholders, a number of them. And that maybe will necessitate further amendments into the bill. That's how it's done. Are you ready, madam? That's how it's done. So that what we can then do is that we can then note the issues. Either some of the issues would have left them during the public hearing. Because the product that we have here is not a satisfactory product. So let's have time where we sit, the committee develops a program, invite everybody, we engage, we make recommendations to the department, and say, from the committee point of view, these are the recommendations we are making for further amendments, if there's going to be, so that the department can start to work on something else. But again, that does not stop members to initiate amendments. The parliament does allow you, in fact, to initiate the amendments if need be. But because of the working relationship we have with the department, I think it would be very difficult to do.
Agreed.
Because the rule does not permit us to open more public hearings. Okay. On that note, therefore, members, is there any other thing that Philomena wants to raise on the amendments that you have left? Mm-hmm. I know that you have omitted something else again. What is it?
Thank you, Chairperson. And we have, it's a consequential amendment that I think we picked up after the CEDEC committee has already considered the bill. It's in section 23. Let me start with what is contained in the bill. In clause 15, which amends section 22 of the Act, at paragraph C, there is an amendment to subsection 6 that says or omits the word minister and replaces or substitute it with the director general. And as we go down to section 23, it says if the minister, referring to section 22, subsection 6. Therefore, we omitted that as we were going through, but thereafter we went through the bill and the act together. We realized that we omitted making or proposing amendment to replace substituting the word minister with director general so that it flows together with the amendment in section 22. It's actually a consequential amendment that we'd like the committee to consider and take note of.
So all of this will happen after we have passed the bill, the final print that went into the one that we are dealing with this thing ourselves, we're quite very clear, and our amendments were very, very clear. It goes back to that point that Materia was raising here in Bogusban. I think we want to speak to what the person has raised. That we don't want to go through, line by line spelling. I know that the entropy is very accurate dealing with some of the things. National Assembly sometimes we just push through, but what we have pushed through as National Assembly has been correct in fact. So therefore, what are the implications, Mushin? Do you have any implications? Because again the rule does not permit if the amendment of the nature that they sort of take to change those things. What is the position?
So while the Constitution says that you can, when you reconsidering amendments by the NCP, you can make further amendments, the rule says that you may not propose any amendments which are not strictly relevant to the Council's amendment. However, because it is a rule, you may report that in your report to the House, and the House can definitely override that because it's an internal provision. The Constitution does allow you to make any amendment, but it's just in terms of the rules that when you're reporting to the House, you need to note that so that you submit.
It's not the
No, but it needs to be strictly relevant to the one amendment that's related now to the registration of children.
So what do we have to give the report to the House?
Yes, and then the House can now and then practically override or suspend the control function.
Okay.
It's an internal provision.
No, that's right. So therefore, can I then move for the proposed amendment, which will then provide a report to the House? No?
Yeah, just ask me if you just have something in writing. I was trying to follow what you said. I just want to make sure in front of you what we actually, what the Constitution Amendment is. Perhaps I could just ask why we don't have it in writing, or if we knew we were going to raise it.
Oh, I
do not have, but it will not take us more than 10 minutes to prepare.
Thank you. Just to
okay, just leave it and then we'll come back to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. You deal with that and then once you're ready, you'll then notify us. Now, members, can we then move to the second issue that we must deal with, is the Auditor General's letter. It's going to read through this letter. Members, I think we have a copy of that letter. Copies are made available. Yeah.
Request for an investigation into the process followed by CETA and the Department of Home Affairs in evaluating and awarding the online project. The Minister of Home Affairs, Ms. Martin Abula, requested the Auditor General on 3 June 2008 to conduct an investigation into the matter mentioned above. In order to consider this request and the possible scope, therefore, the Auditor General will require the necessary background information to be made available and critical role players left to be consulted. Since the Minister mentioned in the letter that the Portfolio Committee raised concerns regarding the project and tender and has escalated the matter to the Speaker of Parliament, your view on this matter of critical importance. It will therefore be appreciated if any background documentation and information that you may have be made available to the Auditor General. An opportunity to discuss this matter at your earliest convenience will also be appreciated. Sincerely yours, Lily Zondo, Corporate Executive.
All right, thank you very much. That's the letter number that we received from the Auditor General. And I communicated to the Auditor General that they are willing to step up to the committee because the division is called for an investigation for the division of the committee. But therefore, the committee can now reflect on this letter and then informed again by our further engagement of the meeting that took place on the 18th of June at CETA, which was attended by the Minister of Home Affairs and the Minister of Public Services and Administration. I think I've made the minutes of that meeting available to members and the findings of the committee. And not only that, but I think again we can go back to the committee report that we have still sent to the Speaker, which we have not yet received. The position of the Speaker. I know that I've been engaging with the Office of the Speaker around the issues that we raised that the Speaker should deal with. That report will be made available in due course. So therefore, yeah, that is the members. Can I get members to comment or give the way forward?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy, Chairperson, to receive this correspondence from the Auditor General, Chairperson. First of all, the Auditor General, there is still outstanding audit report for Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. I think, Chairperson, the best thing is to request the Auditor General to have a meeting with us in the early next week so that we can discuss the issues on the table in detail, Chairperson, not communicating with letters. Thank you, Chair.
members, right? Khosisban, I'm calling you Khosisban.
Yeah, right. It is a district court Khosisban.
Yeah.
Chairperson, I think this matter is so serious, but what I would propose is part of our way forward. I can understand about the proposal by Hoshi Muramuchu, but still we are having an outstanding report from the Speaker of Parliament. As there was a correspondent directed to her directly. Therefore, I will propose as well that how can it be if you can make a follow-up on that particular, so that when we discuss some of the matter, we'll be in a position to close this matter once and for all.
So,
Chairperson, I can understand where the Auditor General is coming from, and it makes sense to put things in writing and communicate with him. But I'd like to support my colleague that at some stage, and preferably sooner rather than later, we seek a meeting with the Auditor General's office. There are a number of issues on the table that it's difficult to have documentation or information one can simply hand over. One of which, for example, is the question of the CEO of the CETA. Mm-hmm. We met with him on the 18th of June. Mm-hmm. He made a number of undertakings. He gave us information. During the course of the meeting, he changed some of that when he was briefed properly. Mm-hmm. He subsequently resigned or left. How do you actually convey that in writing to the General? So that's just one of these issues. I think there are a number of very serious matters. If it's at all possible, I would suggest that we seek a briefing or a meeting with the Auditor General, and we then proceed from there with information we have. But again, I would just go to my colleagues. I'm concerned, I'm unhappy, I'm uncomfortable with the number of issues. It's difficult to put one's finger on when you get all sorts of different answers from different persons when you seek information about tenders, about the award of work, about how they've done certain things, how they're related to the Home Affairs. So I would support the view that we actually find some sort of time to have a meeting with the Auditor General, possibly next week, or whenever they can make it. Thank you.
Now, members, with regard to your remedy.
Just before you maybe wrap the whole matter, I just wanted to find out if maybe you have information with regard to what we read in the newspaper. I'm sure it was for Western, if I'm not mistaken, where Minister Geraldine was indicating that the issue of smart card is going to be
rolled out.
So I was wondering as to what is happening now, whether are the Home Affairs services being transferred to her department, or what is happening?
Chairperson, I wanted you to raise this issue. You see, Chairperson, I think we must come up with something in terms of the resignation of some people within the department. Why I'm raising it? I'll repeat what I've said some times ago. Some people, they taken up advantage because in the olden days they were using Exchequer Act, which there were no means or systems in place to make a follow-up. But now, we're having this PMFA, which indicates exactly how to account. In particular for accounting officers. I think we must revisit that area sometimes. Because I'll put an example. If PET is employed in the department and something is coming up and PET decides to resign, and the case is closed, and then there comes the question, if there are investigations, whatever might be, how do you make a follow-up? How do you bring that particular person to come and account? I think something must be done on that one. Because no matter there is a department, but there are still a portfolio committee who is accountable to Parliament, how do we evaluate other people? How do we make our point to be heard? And then how do we implement what is supposed to be implemented by us? Because leaders come and go, and the masses remain. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to clarify the matter raised by Mother Maggie, because I was fortunate to see the interview of the Minister Geraldine. She stated that she is doing that on behalf of the cluster, because it's the leader of the cluster.
No, I'm not on this issue of Mother No. I'm on the Auditor General's issue. I think, Sir President, I concur with what Honorable Member Mr. Lowe has just said, that we were awaiting several clarifications from the CEO, and suddenly it just resigned. So it is better to communicate with the Office of the Auditor General and request a meeting. Because there are a lot of issues that we want to raise, but it won't be possible to write it, write a letter to him and explain all these things. But if we have one-on-one with him, I think we'll be able to raise those issues that we really need to raise with him. And there are obscure concerns for us.
As much as maybe we have our cluster and some of the ministers or leaders of clusters might speak on behalf of certain ministries, but I think it is of very, very important, because of this is a very key thing. It won't be correct for the Department of Home Affairs to take it that the very same thing that must first be pronounced by the Department of Home Affairs, being the bone of contention in a department, it is being said by somebody outside, and then we should take it as such that it is correct to be said by somebody outside as a cluster, not as the owner of the particular project. Chairperson, so the issue of duplication, we have seen this thing when we are speaking about issues of CETA tendering and so on, seeing that the minister already comes in, and then now it's coming in again on another matter. That thing needs to be clarified, Chairperson. Thank you.
All right, members, what will then, I think that explanation was given around the question of the cluster and who speaks on behalf of the cluster. I do not want that to make it much easier. But the point that either you are raising is that we have not yet got on our own information from the department with regard to the rolling out of the smart card accordingly. And again, the process is different. The department has not yet met with us to brief us on the entire process of the smart card. So it means that part of our meeting will be to invite the department to come and talk to us from the tendering process, whoever that wants, and when is the smart card going to be issued and all of that, right? So it's one outstanding issue. There are still outstanding issues. The issue of suspended officials, the CFO is still suspended, and then we still have this acting one coming from CETA, and we don't know for how long. So I think there's a need to resolve, I think, as a committee today, that we'll invite the department to brief us on that thing. Last time we informed that the matter is subject, we can't touch it. But I understand that some of the officials have already left the department. So I think there's a need to get a briefing on that. The other issue is that we've asked CETA, if you go through the report, we said they must give us the agreement, the business agreement between CETA and Home Affairs, and that report has not yet come until today. But members, the report that you have, you remember it was a closed meeting, and I'll appreciate that you keep that report as closed as possible. Because there are various issues that you have identified during that meeting. clearly, and I am informed that the project has been signed. Whom am I online has been signed by the Director General. It appeared on the IT website. We have not got the version. We don't know what is in place, what is the agreement. Again, the mandate given to the Auditor General by the Minister. In that meeting, I think the Auditor General should share with us what mandate, terms of reference for his investigation, because I believe that there are basic things that you can investigate. The committee engagement with the CETA, it was very clear that there is a very serious issue. And I'm not sure that Auditor General cannot pick up those issues. Then if Auditor General cannot pick them up, then there's a problem. But we don't know what are the terms of reference that the Auditor General was given by the Minister for us to beef up whatever that is investigated. So therefore, we'll then communicate with the Office of the Auditor General to invite him. And I think in that meeting it will be necessary. Either we invite the Auditor General together with the Minister. And then so that we sort of, you know, resolve this whole investigation and know exactly who is investigating, what are the terms of reference and all of that. Because it has been a public issue and we have kept it public. The biggest concern obviously is that if it's true that the contract has been signed with the supplier, then we're heading towards a very serious problem based on the findings of the committee. Because we do have our own findings which we'll share. Our findings with the Auditor General and the Minister when we meet. Likely enough, the Minister was part of the meetings that we attended with CETA, at CETA offices. And those issues that are in the report will confirm the concern that were raised by the portfolio committee. So therefore, members, can I propose that we keep this report and members can go through this report and make additions where they want to make additions before the meeting with the Auditor General. I want us to adopt this report first. Once we have adopted the report, I think we can use the report as a base of our submission to the Auditor General for investigation and any other issues that we have.
I think the minutes.
Yes. Those minutes can form base of the submissions that we want to give to the Auditor General for investigation. The contract is now going to go to the government. Then it tells you that we are heading to a very serious problem. But nevertheless, the committee has capacity to deal with the challenges, and where we believe that things are not done correctly, the committee will send and in fact will call for the scrapping of those things. But I think let's give an opportunity to those who are now tasked to do investigation and then and submit whatever information that we think is relevant to help them to deal with that problem. And then we'll get the report.
I want to know. I was discussing with my friend here.
Yeah.
You want to know why are we leaving the Director General outside? That meeting with CETA, yeah. I mean with Auditor General, the Minister, we should also call the DG. Yeah. Because he's the one who signed this to MLN. Well, we are still having some progress with it.
No, I think let's keep it to the principal head, the political head, which is the Minister of Government. Let's do it at that level. That will be the correct level, because we cannot put them together in one meeting. I believe that whatever that he does, it reports to the Minister.
No, but he can play ignorant.
No, but let's leave that. We will deal with it when... Let's have this meeting with the Director General and the Minister. Let's make our submissions. And then, meantime, we'll write a letter to CETA and request them to give us the business agreement between them and Home Affairs. Because they've been running all of these big tenders without the business agreement in place. And how do you do that? You know, so it's a very serious concern, and therefore we'll write a formal letter that will go to the Washburn to see that.
Chairperson, while I agree with your suggestion, arising from the meeting we had with CETA Chairperson, it was clear CETA and Home Affairs did not follow the parliamentary rules. Therefore, Chairperson, it's appropriate for the Portfolio Committee Chairperson to take a decision that Who Am I Online must be disbanded, Chairperson.
We'll put our case before the minister and the auditor general, based on our understanding and our findings of the portfolio committee during our oversight work. So when we do oversight, we pick up. Therefore, I think that point, let's hold on that point until we have met with the relevant authorities. Then we can then decide our position as a portfolio committee, informed by our own findings.
While I take your advice, Chairperson, if you can guarantee that they are not going to spend a cent from now onwards, we, in the name of Who Am I Online, then I can agree with you, Chairperson.
No, Jose, you see, nothing is going to be spent, Jose. You must know that when we pass the strategic plan of the department, the budget, in that strategic plan and the budget, there's nothing made mention of Who Am I Online. You don't have it. So if they're going, it's going to be, the strategic plan, it's not there. You don't have it. We have those documents of the department. Nowhere they make mention of that project. Even if whatever that they sign, it needs to be informed by the allocation. In the allocation that we have passed in the committee, there's nothing about doing my own line. So, obviously, that's what I'm saying, that let's have that time, because that's not right now. Let's have that time. Let's give them an opportunity and ourselves to engage with, say, and respect the decision that has been taken by the minister, that the auditor general must engage this issue. And let's comply, give them, but put our position quite very clear around this issue. Okay?
But, Chairperson, lastly, SIDA told us they are doing gentlemen's agreement with Home Affairs.
No, don't go to the report, please. Can I just stop it now?
Thank
don't
you, Chairperson.
Don't go to the report, because you are now diverging what is contained in the report, and I don't want you to do that now.
Thank you.
That report will deal with those issues when we meet with the relevant people and engage with them. And please don't get to that report now. And as I said, that report is CPT, it's your report. We'll deal with it when we engage with the minister and the Auditor General around this CMI online. On that note, therefore, members, the program. Members, part of the work that the committee is supposed to focus on. Now, it means that we're going to change based on the recommendations that have been made by the portfolio committee today. This program, which we have made copies again to members. But the 9th and the 10th of September, the portfolio committee was going to engage. You know, part of our work is preparation for elections. Sorry, can I have order between you and Coach Mateo? But, the program we're going to engage with Home Affairs and the IEC, part of the work that we're going to visit provinces and look at the preparations for the general election, the ID campaign and voter registration. Now, that program as it stands now, members, is that they were supposed to start on the 9th to the 10th of September. We're going to visit Gauteng province, and then the 11th, we're going to depart Home Affairs provincial office and IEC Limpopo, the 12th, the Northwest, the very, very tight program. But I think because of the engagement today, what I'll propose to members is that let us sort of say, hold on to this program.
Yeah.
We go back, we'll redraft based on the discussion today, because we're now going to call another meeting soon. And then from there, in the next meeting, we then come up with a fuller program. But what I want members to note is that there's going to be the 15th and the 19th. There's going to be people's assembly, which this portfolio committee is expected to participate in Mpumalanga. So the entire portfolio committee is expected to participate. So part of our participation is going to be the oversight work that we do during the People's Assembly, before the Assembly meeting. So we're going to meet around those issues. But what is very critical, again, is the issue of documentation, birth certificate. Most of our children, especially the small one, women, have birth certificate. They don't have birth certificate. And it's one of the things that we need to encourage the department to roll out that campaign. An ID book for general elections, a number of first-time voters do not have ID books. And the department launched the ID campaign, and that ID campaign, we may not know how far it is now, but I think for yourselves in your different provinces, it will be necessary that you interact with the provincial offices and engage around the issues of the ID campaign. Some mobile units, I understand, have broken down, most of them, but we need to make sure that we get accurate information. But by the time we meet with the department, we have more information as a committee to be able to go over. Okay, no. All members of the committee are going to the People's Assembly. It's not a question of permission here or applying. It's the work of the committee that must take place that day, and all of us are expected to be there. So you can sort of put all members here. Anyone that has a problem will come to the Elda?
Chairperson, if we're going to use this original plan, I really don't think that IEC departments in the Free State and the Eastern Cape are going to be prepared to open the offices to us on a Saturday and a Sunday. 20th and the 21st are Saturday and a Sunday.
Well, the IEC works for that. No one of us works on
Saturday. Are the parliamentarians going to be prepared to go on a Saturday and a Sunday?
Okay, that's fine, Hilda. We'll look at that. Members, we sort of how far are you, ma'am?
Sorry, TT has just gone to my coffee. TT has just gone across the road to my coffee.
Yes, I live now. Oh, you know what this is in Chinese? It's having a problem. Yes. Okay, no, thank you very much. We'll sort of have a 2 minute break, I hope by that time. 5 minute break. Can I have a break for 5 minutes?
No, sir.
And I've only two at the next meeting at once, so... What PK have you got in for? Private members. I mean, listen. I am the only member here. I'm the only member on Thursday.
Hey, bring mine. Hey, bring mine, man.
They are meeting all the time.
Excel, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been long waiting for my stuff.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, this is gorgeous for me. This is what you're going to have to be wearing.
And then
on the second day, they've put the right to openly weapon a tender in
Japan.
Not to say, so many budgets to Petrobras. Meanwhile, Petrobras goes to a tender. All of a sudden, they take the money out of Petrobras. And then fund
a few million, I'm just getting a briefing.
I'm telling you to go and work on Sunday.
We're ready.
You send me to the SMK to work on Sunday.
Okay, thank you. I'll do that. But you wait until after the election, I can go.
Okay, members, when we adjourn, we are awaiting the constitutional amendment from the using the word minister with the director general. Therefore, can I give you through the proposed, and then members can then pronounce, and then
thank you, Jefferson. We have prepared a document for you that will reflect the amendment, how it will look like. It will read, section 23, if the minister with the square bracket involved and underlined director general, which shows that we have omitted the word minister, replaced it with the word director general, has withdrawn an asylum seeker permit in terms of section 22.6, he or she may, subject to section 29, cause the holder to be arrested and detained pending the finalization of the application for asylum in the manner and place determined by him or her with due regard to human dignity. That's how it will do.
Okay, members, can we then move for the adoption of the proposed amendment?
You can't detain without arrest. You're a dragon.
So you're putting to myself the chair and then I'll ask you. We're rather conducive. No. Can we? It's not the point of order.
Point of order.
The motion before the adoption, before we move for the adoption, can we move the motion of disability? Can we allow Edith to read the motion of disability before we adopt the motion?
Okay, the motion of disability reads as follows. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend, insert, delete certain definitions and to provide for delegation of power, to provide for certain matters with regard to the establishment of refugee reception office, to provide for the dissolution of the standing committee for refugee affairs and the refugee appeal board, to provide for the establishment of refugee appeals authority, to provide for the clarification and revision of procedures relating to refugee status determination, to provide for obligation and rights of asylum seekers, to provide for the repeal of certain absolute provisions, and to effect certain technical corrections, and to provide for matter connected therewith.
Can I move the adoption of the motion?
Yes.
Can I then move for the adoption of a Clause 14, line 40.
Yes.
Agreed to. And then the next one will be substitution of the word section 23 of the Act
130 of 1998, mm-hmm. section 23 of the principal act by amended the constitution of 2023. Can I then move for the adoption of the last amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Agreed to?
Yes.
Agreed. Therefore, the amendment has been agreed to. Can I get the report of the committee?
Point of royal blood.
Oh.
The report of the committee. Okay, the report on the refugee amendment. The portfolio committee on Homer, having considered the subject of refugees amendment, Bill B11B 2008, National Assembly Section 75, prefers it implemented by the joint tagging mechanism as Section 75, reports the bill with proposed amendments from the National Council of Ministers.
Can I move for the adoption of the report of the committee?
Yes.
I think we have come to the end of the amendment. A general comment, obvious. I hope that you will note the concern raised by members with regard to the drafting quality. It's really quite disturbing that we'll have to convene for such a small amendment, which were an omission of the drafters generally. And therefore, I want to propose that you must beef up the section that you work with of drafters. You're not here, the parliamentarian is not here, and the law said as well is not here. But I think you need to beef up that section. We cannot be dealing with the, you know, the kind of the quality of legislation that we have to. I think we end up being the drafters, and I believe that parliamentarians have a particular role to play, not to be drafting. Once you have given the line of march, I think it's about you must then apply your mind, your legal mind, to put it in context. Therefore, I hope that will not go through the thing. A lunch is being arranged at 1 o'clock. Where is the
next meeting? 1 o'clock. Yes, I think it's a good idea. And I will. I am sick within 3 days. I have the bug come alive to see they are yours.
I know. He doesn't eat. Now, members, we have sort of come to the end of the meeting. We'll then communicate with members with regard to the next meeting. As instructed by the committee, we'll arrange to get as soon as possible a meeting with the Auditor General. We'll communicate with him. That we need an agent meeting with him to resolve the outstanding issues that we believe must be resolved as a matter of agent together with the minister. And the issues of refugees and the asylum seekers in migration, we develop a program, we'll engage with the office of the minister to get the date that the minister will be available, and then we'll then engage around those issues. And then the last thing obviously will be the oversight work that we must do as we go to interact with the peers of government, provincial and local government, which is quite very significant on understanding the policy, the development of the policy on integration. We don't have one, just have an open entry into the country. Therefore, the new challenge that we have resolved. On that note, members, for now, thank you very much. And then the report will be sent to the committee, to the parliament. But go through your CEDAR report, make your own some comments there, amend it there, your own recommendation. When we meet in that meeting with the Auditor General, it must sort of become like then we can then make the
decision.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Well, it means that I only had two wrong things in the seven for 23. Remember? I will now send a letter to the secretary and say, dear, I think we go for people.